Back Talk is an extension of the long-running, award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, this podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Backtalk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Kevin Carr.
And this is
Backtalk.
Both of us love movies.
Sure.
We certainly wouldn't spend that much time in a theater if we didn't love them.
It's a hazard of the job.
It is. And one of the things I don't pay enough attention to is the stunts.
Yeah.
And this new movie, The Fall Guy. And I have to say, I liked it, Kev.
You did?
Yeah, well. I really liked it, and I thought it was going to be... I was worried because they were mixing a romance with the stuff that I really wanted to see.
Well, but that's a common thing now, to do sort of that action romance.
Yes.
They did that with, you know, like romancing, going all the way back to like Romancing the Stone from the 80s.
And
when the original Fall Guy TV series was on.
Yeah, and you saw him at the end.
Yeah, yep. There's a little bit of a cameo there.
We're talking about Lee Majors, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How about Once a Time in Hollywood? He was a stuntman.
Well, yeah, he was a stuntman. I mean, that was more an amalgamation of Quentin Tarantino's. It's very different than that. I'm not a huge fan of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I think it's bloated and navel gazing.
Right.
That one was Quentin Tarantino building a sandbox and then playing in it for 2.5 hours and then saying, oh, wait, I have to tell a story, too.
What about Fall Guy?
I have real mixed feelings on Fall Guy. And first of all, let's just say the stunts are great. It is a brilliant movie when it comes to the stunts. Good. And it should, because the director is a former stuntman.
Yes, right.
And they even say multiple times it's a love letter to stunts. If there's any issue I have with the stunts, there's some digital manipulation in the stunts, and I'm like, if you're going to do a love letter to stunts, do the practical stunts, and don't start dropping in digital effects, because you're supposed to be showing how cool stunts
right.
are. But I can forgive that. I mean, if you want to see stunts, it's great. It's one of the best stunt movies you're going to see in a while, and I think it brings some agency to it, because they make a point that there should be an Oscar category for it.
Yes.
I mean, if you're going to have Oscar category for digital effects or sound design...
You're so true.
You should have stunt. I mean, talk about people who put their lives on the line.
And it's starring, I think, the glamour boy of the moment.
Well, yeah. Well, and this is interesting, because you bring up Ryan Gosling.
Yes.
And, of course, everybody stampedes Barbie. Well, he was great in Barbie. He really did, in a lot of ways, steal the show.
Yes.
There's only so much that he contributed to it making $1 billion.
But I do remember and became affectionate about him when I saw Drive.
Yes.
I really felt that was...
So pretty much if Ryan Gosling is driving, you like that movie.
I did.
Because he drives in this.
Boy, he does all of that. The camera's right on the hood. We're looking right in.
And yeah.
Right.
And I think Ryan Gosling's great. And a lot of people have compared this to... sort of a spiritual sequel to The Nice Guys, if you've seen that one, the Shane Black directed film with Russell Crowe and him. It takes place in, I think, the 70s. It's sort of this neo-noir, but comedic thing. There's a whole series of Ryan Gosling movies where he just gets beaten up through the whole movie. And I think he's great in it. I think he's good. He's very funny. My biggest issue with the movie is the story. It is all over the place. I know all fictional stories are made up.
It is. Yes.
But it feels like they're making it up as they go along.
Oh, yeah.
And he's good in it. You know, but it feels like it was the stunt spectacular show that you see at, like, Universal Studios. And then they go, let's put a story to it after we filmed all these stunts.
I mean, they have some, like, falling hundreds of feet or something like that.
Oh, sure.
Wow. Wow.
Well, and they actually broke a stunt record on this.
Yes, that's right.
It's one of the first scenes where he gets back on in the movie set and they flip a car and it flips over 8.5 times.
That's right.
And it was a record that was held at the time by, I think it was Casino Royale, the one with Daniel Craig, like almost 20 years ago.
Yeah, all right.
So
what they call them, cannon rolls.
Yeah, or
the rolling. They call them cannon rolls.
Yeah, because
I can't believe there's somebody in that car.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this is one of the things that I really like about the film is as many as I've seen. Of course, I haven't seen the interior of it, and that excites me to see it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, as a stunt spectacular show, it's fantastic.
Another one that I really liked was Immolation.
See, you mean those scenes with him getting set on fire?
Yeah.
Here's my problem with it.
Uh-oh.
If they make a movie about plumbing and they don't get the plumbing right, you're like, well, they're not plumbers. But when they make a movie about making movies and they get making movies wrong, it really irritates me. You can't have a guy with frosted tips and light him on fire. His hair would go on fire. His face would go on fire. And I get why they're doing it because it's a Hollywoodized version of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm like, that's not how it works. And you guys know that because you guys do this for a living, you know. So it plays the comedy well. But at the same time, if you know even a modicum about movie making, you're like, well, it kind of breaks that veneer.
So you think they used FX with that?
Well, they absolutely did. I don't think that wasn't real fire.
Okay.
Or they did a face replacement on Ryan Gosling. I mean that's fine.
I'm sitting there, Kevin, that's the problem with movies to me. I just accept everything.
Sure.
Yeah, and so I'm accepting that they did, and I'm saying, boy, that's astonishing, and you're right, because there's nothing to protect his head.
Yeah, his whole face would go on fire. You don't just smear a little bit of gel on your neck and be like, I'm good. Yeah. There's a lot of little things. There's a scene where somebody's driving one of those big pads that people fall on.
Oh, yes.
And they're trying to aim it. So And I'm like, it makes a good, exciting scene.
Boy, is that dicey.
But those things need to be they need to be tied down.
Of course they do. Yeah, right. They're dragging it around and he's going to fall in it.
Yeah.
And you're saying, boy, but they're how accurate they're going to have to be when he falls.
Well, yeah. And it's like these stunts. And I get why they do it because there's nothing more boring than watching a movie get made. I mean, movies are exciting,
but they are so slag.
Maybe you're doing a quarter page a day, especially with these stunt works.
Brutal, brutal.
You know, it's like 16 hours of boring prep and then like that 30 seconds of sizzling energy.
Yes.
And that's kind of how it works. And that doesn't make good film. So those are my beefs. Also, you know, here's the other thing I didn't like about it. And I know you probably love this bit, but I think Emily Blunt is great.
Yes.
She and Ryan Gosling have really good chemistry.
Yes.
But her character, you could have just you could have deleted her character from that movie.
And particularly the last half of the film. She's not there.
It's kind of one of these things where they're like, well, we have this love interest. And for as much power in the role, she's the director.
Right.
She's making the science fiction epic and everything. She still just is this object to be won.
That's a great point. Yes, you're right. And in fact, apparently both of them have two daughters.
Okay.
And so Krasinski was there.
Oh, sure.
So both families were there the whole time in Australia.
Yeah.
Which is they elected to have the right time of year and apparently.
Well, they probably got a bunch of tax breaks because that's how.
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought that they did well together when they were together.
I'd love to see a buddy cop movie with the two of them. Where they both have a role, but she's just there to be like, when are you coming back to the set, Colt?
Right, yeah. So we last saw her in the Quiet.
She's in the Quiet Place movies.
Because I'm forgetting how really attractive she is as an actress.
But she's also very capable action-wise. She was in Edge of Tomorrow with Tom Cruise.
Good.
You know, in that big cyber suit type thing. I think she's capable.
All right, Kevin Carr, we have more to say about The Fall Guy, but right now, advise our audience.
It's a great stunt film, and it's funny. I think that the reviews out there are a little bit hyperbolic.
Okay, and it had its blockbuster qualities about it for the summer. For the summer.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool on the big screen.
Yeah, I think it's great light summer fare, but I also think you're right. It's riddled with imperfections.
Yeah, it's got a great dog in it, too.
Oh, yes, toward the end of the film. Good for you. It speaks French.
Well, listen, it hears French. It doesn't bark in French. Le Wolf.
All right, Kev, so we're still on The Fall Guy with Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt.
Yes.
And is there anybody else in that film that I can remember that we should remember?
Hannah Waddingham from Ted Lasso.
I don't watch that. But
she plays one of the producers in there that's kind of this It's and funny. Her producer is probably wildly accurate to what a producer is like.
She, yeah. Yes, she's the tallest lady. Yeah. The producer. Yes, I was
the
impressed.
The one with a bad wig.
Yeah, but I was impressed with her.
Yeah, she's great. Yeah. She's fantastic. And then, of course, Aaron Taylor Johnson plays the main actor in the film that goes missing, and that's
right.
Sort of what kicks off.
Now,
him.
What does he do?
He's been in a lot of stuff. He was in Bullet Train,
which the director did.
Yeah.
Now we've got to say his name, David Leitch, but he was the director of Bullet Train, which is Brad Pitt. So there's a connection.
Yeah, there's that. Yeah, to that. But I mean, Aaron Taylor Johnson played one of the many people on the Bullet Train. He was also Quicksilver in the Avengers movies. And he's going to be in, I think he's in Kraven the Hunter, but that doesn't come out till I think now, either Christmas or next year. But he's done a lot of stuff. I mean, he was originally way back in the day, he was in Kick-Ass. He played that character. He's the one that's being rumored as the new James Bond. Heavily rumored, but nothing.
Really?
Nothing set in stone. Winston Duke's also in it. He played the stunt coordinator. Okay. He was in Us. And he was in Black Panther. He's a big, huge guy.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it's a good cast.
Henry Cavill looks like he might be a contender for the Bond.
It's weird because they've taken so long that people are aging out of it. Like Idris Elba, I think 10 years ago would have been a shoo-in.
You are so right. Yeah. And he's way out. He's past now.
And I think Henry Cavill started. They want to cast somebody who's like in their 20s or at 30. Because, I mean, now you can make 4 movies and take 20 years to play James Bond.
Kev, stuntmen in movies in the past.
Yeah.
I do believe the character that I mentioned earlier, Ryan Gosling in Drive, was a stuntman.
You're right. I think his main job was he was a stunt driver.
Yeah. Again, it's a terrific little film. It'll give you an idea of how he can act. And also, just as we mentioned it, how do you have a movie that's almost just him driving his car?
Yeah.
Just to see how good a good movie can be.
Well, in Drive, the pacing's about it's paced like you drive. You know, it has these stops and these starts and these really quick speed ups and stuff, and that's why I love Drive. That's why I thought that was such a good movie. Which I believe Kafka, that won for best film.
Did we select that?
When that year, whatever year that was.
Did you ever see The Great Waldo Pepper?
I did not.
Okay, it's been so long for me. I think that was Robert Redford, right? Okay. I think it was.
Was it the 60s or 70s?
75.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And then Burt Reynolds.
Well, yeah, there's a lot with him.
Yeah, well, the one that I wrote down was 75 again, Hooper.
Well, there was Hooper, there was the Smokey and the Bandits movies.
When he was in his prime,
mm-hmm.
he was the people's choice several years in a row.
Oh, huge.
Now, Kevin,
people forget what a colossally huge star Burt Reynolds was.
You know what I did? My sister lives in Florida, in Trump country there. They had a Burt Reynolds museum.
Okay.
So I spent an hour of my life touring the Burt Reynolds Museum. There was not one thing about Lonnie Anderson in it.
tracks.
I know, which you wouldn't be surprised. Can you imagine that? I mean, life is so strange.
Oh, yeah.
Burt Reynolds, and they had the original canoe.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, because, I mean, he did all those sort of like stuff like, you know, White Lightning and that. So the sort of, what would you call it, sort of, you know, poverty level action movies.
Oh yeah,
they were huge in the 70s. Of you know, people, trucker movies, dirt bike movies, speedboats, or
if you could do something in Kentucky, people were very happy with it. You know,
wrestling alligators, all that good stuff.
Yes, that's right. He was good in it, and he was big in it, and he was a stuntman in that Hooper that I mentioned.
Mm.
Apparently, there was a 224-foot. Free fall.
Wow.
As a stunt. God, Kevin.
There was another movie, Cliffhanger, from 93.
Was that Stallone?
It was Stallone. And like the opening scene, his girlfriend falls from there. The rock climbing and her carabiner breaks and she falls to her death. And the shot of her falling is a practical effect. The thing is, it's done from so far away. They didn't have GoPro cameras back then.
Right.
But it's an actual person falling. And that was because you're talking 93, so it was right at the infancy of the digital effects. Nowadays, they everything's digital. You can do whatever you want to, and you do miss some of the practicality of these stunts.
Yeah, and what do you think about that, the incursion of special effects into the stuntman's life?
Special effects, visual effects, yes, particularly, yes, I think are like any tool. It if used properly, they can be very effective. If overused, they can dilute your piece of art. I am not ironically calling stunt work art. They spend millions of dollars, not just in the industry, but per movie doing stunt work, which I think is good.
And it's really craft.
It is. I mean, it's science, and you have to know exactly what a car is going to do or what. There's even, in the beginning, before they do the barrel roll, he's like talking about the density of the sand. That's the kind of stuff that they have to take into town.
True. Yeah. I was really impressed with that. Yeah. The sand?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
it's whether or not you have the friction and that sort of thing.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of control that you have to have because, again, you're propelling people at insane speeds and blowing things up with gallons of gasoline.
Does this give you a renewed respect for Tom Cruise?
I have mixed feelings about the Tom Cruise stuff because on one hand, I think it's cool that he will put himself in these situations. But on the other hand, you have stunt people for a reason.
Yes.
Some people break their legs all the time. If Tom Cruise breaks his leg, it shuts down the production for 3 months. If a stunt person breaks his leg, it's bad and you take care of him,
but you
get in another stunt person.
Right.
I remember watching something. It was about an old Star Trek episode of The Next Generation, and Marina Sirtis, who played Deanna Troi, she was like, I wanted to do my own stunts. And so there was this thing where something, they're on this planet and something blows up and then knocks them all over. And she said, then she saw the take and she's like, it could have been Worf in my costume. It could have been the Klingon in my costume. And you wouldn't have known the difference because she was so far away. So like the stuff in Mission Impossible movies where he's hanging off an airplane and you see his face, I have respect for him for that. Some of it also, I think he's a bit of an adrenaline junkie and just
And I think your point is the one that I'd like to make. It's very nice, but there are thousands of people who depend upon him to be alive.
Yeah.
And to take that. Although I was reading something that made me very happy.
Yeah.
That he's going down for stem cells in South America because his face is falling apart.
It is. There's a shot in Top Gun Maverick where he's got his helmet on, so you don't see his hair,
right?
And you don't see the sides of his face.
Yes.
And it took me through half the dialogue to be like, oh wait, that's actually him. I thought it was some other character.
Sure. Yes.
So, but I mean, people get old.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. I mean,
that's what happens.
He's refusing to get old, and he has people close to him who are advising him to let himself get.
Well,
because usually guys with dark hair like that
get some. Well, everybody gets some.
Yeah. Well, my son is in the stem cell business in South America.
Yeah.
And Cruz just came to get some
at
Medellin, where Eric is based.
Oh, wow.
And he was saying that while the people don't watch a lot of movies in Medellin, 2,000 people showed up for him.
It's because of the Mission Impossible movies and Top Gun.
Yeah,
it gave his career a bit of a boost.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
now,
yeah.
Maybe in like 2015, when he was doing Night and Day, they may not have shown up.
Kevin Carr, it's The Fall Guy.
Yeah.
And it stars Ryan Gosling. This is always cyclical, but right now he's at the top of the heap.
Yep.
After Barbie.
He's not somebody who's going to... I don't think he commands an audience. He's not like Will Smith where you put him in a movie and get 100 million.
Okay.
As proved by this movie.
Yes, right. Yeah. You know? Yeah. So now we have families out there waiting for good movies. It's been a tough summer. Not even been summer yet. A tough spring, maybe.
There have been a lot of movies out, but there are certain deficits of genres out there for sure.
And we know Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming next week.
Yep.
So we know families are going to be interested in that. Now, so Kev, what do you think about this movie, The Fall Guy, for families?
Don't try it at home. I mean, I don't know. There's some blue humor there, but I think it's fine for...
I do, too.
You can have fun.
Yeah, and it would have been a perfect film for me and my family, you and your family, because we are all interested in movies.
Sure.
And there wouldn't be anything an 8, 9, 10-year-old couldn't enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, if my kids were that young again, they probably would have wanted to see it.